pack. Usually felt as though most people around me knew what to do as far as communicating with each other and knowing how to act and interact with each other. And, you know, whereas I didn't feel like any of that came naturally to me at all.
Triple J.
You're about to meet a hack listener who got diagnosed with autism when she was 23. That's really late because most people are diagnosed as children. So why did it take so long? Well, here's Shannon telling Joe Lauder her story.
From a very young age, I always knew I was different. And growing up, it was never something that I embraced or was open about. It was always something that I was very insecure about and I didn't want anyone else to notice.
This is 23-year-old Shannon. She grew up in regional Victoria. And while her classmates around her laughed and joked and teased in the playground, she couldn't keep up.
I always struggled a lot socially, and it usually felt as though most people around me knew what to do as far as communicating with each other and knowing how to act and interact with each other. And, you know, whereas I didn't feel like any of that came naturally to me at all. Knowing that I have a bit of difficulty socially, you know, with social cues and reading people's facial expressions and taking things very literally and taking, you know, what's being said, not how it's being said, and I can set myself up for a bit of embarrassment or awkwardness sometimes.
Instead, she watched and faked it and just mimicked what everyone else was doing.
Yeah, talking to people can feel pretty rehearsed at times because a lot of it isn't coming naturally to me.
And things would get overwhelming.
Something else I've always struggled with is sensory sensitivity. You know, I used to get very overwhelmed a lot, especially as a child, because things around me can sometimes feel a bit too loud. Certain lights can be too bright for me, and I really dislike being touched. I did struggle a lot all through primary school and high school with the sensory issues, and as much as I was very intellectually intelligent at school, I definitely had a lot of difficulty in the classroom.
So the classroom and the playground were really hard for Shannon, but she made huge, exhausting efforts to keep it to herself. Over the next 7 years, she got a whole smorgasbord of mental health diagnoses: social anxiety, anxiety, depression, ADHD, OCD, agoraphobia, psychosis, and she was put onto 3 different kinds of medication. Shannon says she definitely had anxiety and depression, but she was sure there was something deeper, and at one point she even asked a psychiatrist about it.
And I even mentioned autism, and she said, no, absolutely not.
Why do you think they, so many medical professionals kind of dismissed it when you brought it up?
I definitely think it's because of how I appear on the outside, which is just like most other people.
Currently, it is more common in boys and girls.
Vicky Gibbs is the clinical psychologist and research manager at Autism Spectrum Australia.
So about 4 times more boys than girls will be diagnosed with autism, but that is that difference between boys and girls has been dropping over time. So it used to be like 8 boys to 1 girl. Now 4 boys to 1 girl, and we do wonder if we're getting better at kind of identifying the subtle differences that might present in girls compared to boys.
For this year's World Autism Day, the focus was on empowerment of women and girls with autism. Vicky says there are some indications that girls with autism might have a different experience than boys, and it manifests differently. One example of this is how they socialise.
They may be more likely to make more social attempts and, you know, on a surface level look like they're interacting with their peers, but perhaps when you look a bit closer, you see that the interactions are not kind of sustained, or they're not being successful in making friends, even though on the face of it they may look more social. And I guess we're more expected to see with boys that they may prefer more solitary activities.
Another common characteristic of boys with autism is an obsession with very structured things, like train network maps, for example. But autistic girls can have similar fixations, but with more everyday things like Barbie dolls or Disney characters. And because the focus has been on boys with autism for so long, the diagnostic tools could skew towards them, and that means more girls could be missing out on the right diagnosis.
I mean, our assessment tools have been developed over the years and have largely been based on our understanding of autism and how it presents in boys. And it could be that as we become more and more familiar with the subtle ways girls may be different, that that may be incorporated.
My initial reaction was, I think at that time I just said, yeah, I know.
Last year, at 23 years old, Shannon got diagnosed with autism after a family doctor referred her to a specialist.
And I think it took a little while for me to feel the relief. I think all I could think at that point was, why did it take this long?
Having a diagnosis has given Shannon some really great coping tools, and she says she feels less confused and guilty about things now, whereas before she blamed herself for everything.
I knew from the moment, you know, I heard the psychologist who assessed me and diagnosed me say that I had met the criteria for autism, I just, yeah, from that very moment knew that my future was bright, and I'd never felt that way before.
This is Hack on Triple J.
That's Shannon talking about living with autism now that she's finally been diagnosed. And if you have autism, when did you get diagnosed? I'd love to hear your story. Call me 1300 0555 36 or text me on 0439 75 7555. So why have girls been slipping through the cracks when it comes to being diagnosed with autism? And is that going to change? Let's ask Dr. Michelle Garnett. She's a clinical psychologist at the Minds and Hearts Institute and Autism Clinic in Brisbane. Dr. Garnett, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me on your show.
You're so welcome. Shannon didn't get diagnosed until she was 23. So just how important is an early diagnosis?
I agree with Shannon, and many around the world are noticing now we really need to get better at picking the girls up earlier. It's really sad at the moment to know that it's actually typical for girls to be diagnosed with autism. And we're talking about an autism where we have, as Shannon does, you know, articulate language, good IQ, in mainstream schools, not necessarily really standing out.
Almost invisible.
Almost invisible, exactly. They're being diagnosed around the world at the moment, average age of 12 to 13 years old, whereas with the boys, we're picking it up much earlier, usually between 6 to 7 years old. And the reason for this, as Shannon articulates really well, is that they're masking. They're working it out. They're generally better at socialising, and we think that's to do with male-female brain difference anyway. But they use their intellect to pick it up and they actually work out how to do social. But as Shannon said, it's exhausting.
And we did hear a bit about how autism can present quite differently in girls and women with autism as opposed to boys. How much are you seeing that?
Oh, it really presents very differently. This is one of the big issues around the world we have right now for health professionals to pick up from the research and clinical wisdom that we now have about how autism presents in our very high-functioning young girls. And the research is certainly picking up strongly, particularly over the past 2 years. So we're now aware that if you get a particular pattern of a girl who is perhaps too good at kindergarten, masks extremely well, observes and watches before she steps in, and she occasionally has meltdowns at kindergarten, but who doesn't? But at home, she's a completely different personality where she's melting down. We call it the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde syndrome, that we have this almost alter ego that comes out at home because she's just so exhausted from keeping it together all day in the kindergarten years. And of course, we see this pattern in primary school. It goes all the way through and in high school. And unfortunately, for many of our girls, the pathway to diagnosis is, as happened for Shannon, other diagnoses first. But this is a real problem because this means that our girls are missing out on important targeted early intervention for autism to assist them to understand the social world and their own emotions earlier so that they can interact more successfully and with less exhaustion through the primary years. And there's so many programs we have to do this. But certainly we can pick it up because of this kind of pattern that can occur, not for all girls, but for some. Another pattern is, as Shannon described, the sensory issues. And another one is that they tend to have extreme meltdowns of emotion for seemingly minor triggers. Something really tiny happens, Like mum's late for picking her up from violin practice, and it's as if the world's collapsed and she can't cope. And
Dr.
Garner, recovery.
We've got a question for you. Carla from Brisbane says, I feel like I fit into everything that's being talked about. Yeah. How do I, or where do I go to seek more information about getting diagnosed? Just to a GP?
Yeah, it's good to start with a GP. The GP awareness is coming in very strongly now. Not all GPs are aware, but I would really recommend that, Carla, go to our Minds and Hearts website and have a look at the information that we have there. Contacting, it's really important to go forearmed to your GP to say all the information that she has so that she's not going to be dismissed and told, oh, this is normal. Everyone has social difficulties and emotional difficulties at some time because it's not normal, but she needs to paint the whole picture. One of the problems we've found is that many women, girls and women on the spectrum, struggle to communicate to GPs and other health practitioners. It takes longer to express thoughts and feelings that are going on for them. So I really recommend that Carla goes to her GP very well prepared to describe, even take it in written down to show that person and to describe the differences between the male and female presentation.
And
we see many girls and women at Minds and Hearts. So a referral to the clinic, and there's others around Australia too who are specialising in girls and women now.
We actually have Jordan on the line. Jordan, you're 14 and you have been diagnosed and you think it is a pretty gendered experience.
Oh, definitely. I go to a special school down in Hawthorne and every day I go to school and I have like three girl mates in my year level, and then the rest of all my friends are guys because there's just such a different ratio.
And what's it like being around all of them? Is it different interacting with the girls and the guys?
Well, with the girls, we're not really sure how to interact with each other because most of my friends are also severely autistic or have some other form of mental disability, and they're also not sure how to fit in. But the guys, they're also, like, some of them are more challenged in the way of fitting in, but then also some of them are really good at fitting in and also, but they don't know how to respond to certain social situations.
And how do you respond to certain social situations? Do you find yourself pretending ever?
Oh, definitely. I pretend a lot. Most of the time I don't even know what my friends are talking about because they watch a lot more different stuff than I do. So I just go along with it sometimes, but other times I take control of the whole situation and I know exactly what I'm doing and I can easily fit in.
Jordan, thank you so much for the call.
No problem.
So this, I mean, do we need a separate test for diagnosing women and girls with autism, or does the current test just need to change?
I think both will occur. Certainly that's what's happening at the moment. So there's researchers beginning to look at the standardised tests that we have and how we can adapt them to pick up the female presentation much more accurately from an early age. One example of that is looking at the ADOS, which is considered to be a very high standard test, which is about observation. But we need to change what we're looking for because, of course, the tool for assessment is only as good as the knowledge behind it of what to find. So the ADOS, I've developed a questionnaire that is available now. It was published in February this year in the Journal of Psychology in Australia. And it's about checking out for professionals what to look for in that early screening interview. Or even actually teachers, GPs can also use this questionnaire. I think we need early screeners.
Dr. Garner, thank you
girls.
So much for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on, Alice.
No worries. On the text line, someone says, I can relate to the lack of social skills. I have Asperger's, which isn't as extreme as autism, but I find it particularly difficult to do social things.